This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard, given on the 11th of October, 1951. The title of this lecture is Epicenters and Self-Determinism. This lecture is 70 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Last night, the second half of the lecture, I very possibly shocked your sensibilities a little bit about one thing. I heard no report to this effect. I just know what goes on. That one thing, of course, resolves down to a simplicity which we needn't quarrel about. The simplicity is this. Does the body employ facsimiles of death in its construction of the organism? That's the only question in that epicenter theory. Does the body employ facsimiles of death? This theory becomes just as valid, really, on the employment of genetic line only. You can work it out, if you want to, on simply the employment of genetic line facsimiles. As I started out last night, I told you that these behavior patterns, which you find in around cats and men and so forth, are inherited characteristics. We know that theta facsimiles exist. Theta facsimile is a nice, highly generalized term. And a highly generalized term for a static we know not what of, except that it's a static. It is, at the moment, the ultimate static with which we are dealing in the science of Dianetics as it exists at this moment. The next advance is possibly on the other side of that static. The ultimate static at the moment is survive as a command. That's a stat. Now, it says survive in the physical universe by interplays of motion, actually, would be more or less the full thing. And that's static. Now, on the other side of that static, we don't know what exists. Nobody does at the moment completely, by long ways. And so we're not in any argument or contest about what might lie beyond that static. We can put it this way. At the moment, we have reached the Azores, and we'll take a jump off for the West Indies, time permitting. But we have reached the Azores. And it's a very useful cruise. The existence of a facsimile which jumps off of a death and follows a theta line on through into the next generation, the jump of the individual personality in this fashion, this is not in question in the epicenter theory. I wish to impress you with that. I am not trying to hang that on you. I am trying only to show you that there is phenomena of past death, which is too easily recoverable in pre-clears to be ignored. But I'm not telling you that Dianetics embraces the theory of past death. I'm telling you that Dianetics stays with the incredibility that it's never used. As far as Dianetic theory to be released to the American universities, there'll never be a word spoken of this. We'll leave that to our little commie friends. They can go running around and say, well, Hubbard, are you really going off the deep end now? Dianetics is religion. He's trying to make a monopoly out of Dianetics, and the only way he can do it is make a religion and so forth. They sure need clearing. By the way, as a comment on that, I'm not making any monopoly out of the ownership of Dianetics. I just have to know more about it. I think that's a static that I can pose here at the moment. I leave it till next year. Maybe any of you will know more than I know about it. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that you do not have to admit this difficultly admitted death facsimile in order to look over the theory of epicenters. If you'll just take it on the basis of genetic line facsimiles, it agrees with classical biology and other subjects. It agrees very well. It agrees with Darwin's theory of evolution and so on. All it's saying, although it puts it in different phrases, more workable phrases, it says the theta facsimiles exist all the way back down the line to the first jump off. Now, in cytology, they say there is an unending stream of protoplasm going through space and time, and it forms life forms. They put the emphasis on the protoplasm. Anthropology and other subjects put it on the organism produced out of that protoplasm. But the point is that a blueprint is being carried. Now, we are not even faintly in disagreement with scientific thought of this year, 1951, when we say theta facsimiles exist on the evolutionary chain. We are not in any disagreement, because they put it much more sloppily. They say there is inherited characteristics. Now, just how you inherit a characteristic without a blueprint, they have never bothered to explain. And we just say, well, we know that people remember things, at least some people do, and we call this photograph, or whatever you call of this object which is remembered, we call that a theta facsimile. Now, these things obviously exist. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any blueprint. I mean, men would be born, they would look like cows or horses or professors or anything. And you get no constancy out of this unending line of protoplasm unless there were a blueprint of some sort. Well, you can call a theta facsimile. You can envision it as traveling through the gaps by genes and chromosomes. And you can say the genes and chromosomes contain these facsimiles, and we've still got the theory of epicenters. It has been observed, for instance, that life keeps improving on the organism and complicating the organism without ever undoing what it did. It's also been observed that, I think, what it is, it phylogeny recapitulates ontogeny, something like that, that the human organism, in the process of growth in the womb from sperm and ovum on up to infant, follows a cyclic pattern which approximates the pattern of evolution. And there's, on the carry mind side of the thing, we notice there are behavior patterns in animals and men which go back along the line. Men have very definite positive behavior patterns. Their built-in reflexes, responses, and so forth, which they would recover one way or the other. They're a little bit slower to recover them. A baby fools with its toes a lot longer before it gets one of these things keyed in than any other animal does. You ever see a baby trying to use its hands and feet? Finds its hands, looks at them, finally keys in the theta facsimiles of the hands, finds their use, then it looks at its feet, and one day is very surprised to find out it's got another foot. And I ran a grief charge out of a guy the other day who had gone through this whole sequence and suddenly realized that he'd never recognized or seen his ears, actually. Now, the theory of epicenters merely states that there is an evolution of command posts, and that those command posts remain structurally visible in the organism. They can be found in the organism, and they still behave as lower echelon command posts, control centers, in other words. Now, it's interesting that such things happen. There's a nerve, for instance, one time or other went straight across in a fish, and then man started to grow lungs, and in evolution, instead of taking that nerve and parting it in one generation, putting it back together again, didn't do this. It kept dragging down, 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 and it now passes from one part of the mind around back under the lungs and back up again. It does it this great big round Robin Hood's barn in order to get a couple of inches. And that's because in evolution, the theta facsimile, the blueprints, kept taking pictures of this nerve in an extended state, and so it finally wound up with an error. Now, there isn't any other reason for this nerve to be where it is. All right. Now, same way with these mind centers. There is a law, and you better write down what I say about epicenters, because it's not going to be published. There's a law concerning this, that at the origin of each new organism, say conception, forward on through to maturity, it is postulated that its new control center is in complete control of the organism and environment and will be obeyed by all the sub-control centers of the organism. In a new organism, postulated that its new control center is going to be in command of the organism in this generation. It's going to be obeyed by all old subcenters. That law is very workable. Very useful. A person sinks on the tone scale in direct ratio to the amount of control lost by this new center. The only thing necessary to regain good equilibrium in an organism is to rehabilitate the command value of the postulated control center of that generation. The only thing necessary in operation to rehabilitate it, just one thing necessary, is rehabilitate its belief in its self-determinism. You got it right there. Now I'll show you what happens on this epicenter proposition. There's two therapies that you can embark upon. Actually, three therapies you can embark upon. I'll give you all three of them. One is to de-intensify non-survival conclusions. By knocking out self-determined postulates. Rehabilitate non-survival conclusions, but just by knocking out the moments when the conclusion was taken. You can state it either way. The way self-determinism straight wire is done is just simply knock out all the old postulates so the fellow is now free of his own postulated statics. That's all. You just knock out the statics. You understand now that when an individual says, he says to himself, I'm a schnook. Now he goes down the time track. 10 minutes. He's a snook. He says to himself, I'm not very good at music, I guess. He goes down the time track 15 years, starts to learn how to play the Jew's harp. He can't play it. He tells somebody just out of social consciousness, he says to somebody, I can't sing. Here he is, beautiful girl, moonlight. She loves singing. He knew he could sing once, so he starts to sing, and a frog croak comes up, and she marries the other guy. Maybe this is lucky for him, but the point is, he has become subject to his own statements. Now, it's not very peculiar how this comes about. Here you have a control center which is in command of the organism. What is command? Command is a static. No matter how thought seems to ebb and flow, if this organism is healthy, its command center has to be in command. Just like a naval vessel or an army will go down in defeat the moment that its command center is invalidated and made unworkable. Because this new central control system is commanding a numerical army much greater than anyone alive on the face of the earth today, any army alive today, you, as an individual, command an army in terms of numbers, and are in command of complexities which no military organization or government can compare with. It's something to think about. The laws of good command, as worked out and as written down but seldom obeyed or viewed, the laws of good command activities happen to be the laws of good conduct on the part of a control center toward its own organism. Does nobody any good if somebody come along and tell you, in order for you to command yourself, you must first learn to obey? It's an arbitrary, any way you want to look at it. Learn to command yourself, you must first learn to obey yourself. Doesn't work. You must first learn to obey other people. No. You see, it's all agreed upon. When the baby is born, he's already fully prepared to do his best on this line. He'll do almost anything to stay in control of his own organism. It's the same way a general will fight against a hostile army that's trying to upset his outfit. Now, he'll try to do the very best he can for his army. Till that general's invalidated, he does very well. But he's invalidated to the troops eventually. Somebody goes along and says he's a paranoid schiz. Somebody else goes along and says, well, he doesn't own Dianetics. The organization gets along all right along this echelon. I'm not viewing this from any paranoid level. I don't know quite what one is. If some psychiatrist will turn up, I'll diagnose him. Point is, self-determinism is just that. It is one's recognition of one's command of the body, and the body's recognition of the command value of the control center. Just that. It's an interplay. No general gets very far with a great deal of punishment of his troops. He doesn't get very far, but by golly, he doesn't get very far unless he has the right to. Something to think about. ARC is just fine. But what kind of a command is this? Peacetime command or wartime command? Peacetime command, naturally. Be sloppy. Senators come aboard, you give them ruffles and drums. You say, so everything's fine. You go down to the wardroom, drink another cup of coffee. Because there's nothing happening. But a wartime command is actually what any individual is. He's got to be able to operate on an emergency status at any instant. You're driving an automobile. Here's a nice peaceful operation, apparently. You're driving an automobile. Peaceful? There are more people killed on the highways of America in any one year than were killed in all the U.S. forces of World War I. Doesn't look to me like that's a very peaceful operation. This life is not precarious, particularly, but you certainly got to be tough and well-coordinated to do well in it. You drive that automobile down the road, all of a sudden, some kid in the hot rod swerves around the corner. It's an emergency. Command center observes, automobile coming around corner. Command, coordinate, hand, steering wheel, turn right, feet, stamp on, clutch, and foot pedal. Well, kind of seems like lately there's been a couple of companies that have been rather dissatisfied. They didn't get their rations on time. They've been getting some enemy propaganda to the effect that the command center isn't so good. Command center's been getting some enemy propaganda to the effect that those two companies down there on the right foot aren't so good. So command center says emergency. Runs up emerg, foot, brake. Nothing happens. Crash, dead organism. Simple. Quick. Now, although we do not lead hour by hour and minute by minute dangerous lives, there's hardly a 24-hour period goes by but what we do not encounter at least one emergency. Man is living in a society which is too safe for him. Much too safe for him. He's getting something like a peacetime army. All sergeants will act toward soldiers like big brothers. You do not have to salute your officers. The sergeant arrangement sort of comes into being. The human body is made to meet sudden death and overcome it two or three times a day. For eons, boa constrictors and saber-toothed tigers and so forth have been jumping out of trees and from behind rocks. And there's nothing like a boa constrictor missing you by a half an inch to bring you up to present time. Without this stimulus, man sort of becomes introverted. He goes slipping off down the track and wandering here and there. Now, you'll find that men in relatively dangerous professions are fairly healthy. But all this has to do with the central, top, this generation control center being in command of the organism. When it says command of the organism, it means command of the organism. Wants fast reaction time, everything in good condition, everything ship-shape, organism well-covered, well-housed, food, clothing, shelter taken care of, various parts of the body cared for, all old control centers cared for. And no mutinies. And everything gets along just sweepingly beautiful. Guys, well, everything. Now, this business about learning to command oneself is simply an old-time injunction of let's get squared away on the first dynamic before we try the second, third, fourth, and fifth. The reason for this is very simple. An individual will start to treat himself like others have treated him. You can put that down as a law. He'll treat himself as others have treated him. And he will also treat others as he treats himself. Works both ways. You want to see a guy that's going around mad all the time? Everybody, you look at a guy that's mad at himself. But he's mad at himself because people have been mad at him. And they've been mad at him up to the point where he's decided he should be mad at himself. So here you have a command center estranged from and in argument with the troops. You get all sorts of odds and ends of discoordination. Very important to you. You get unhealthiness and unhappiness as a result. Army badly commanded, you see it straggling out across the field. Its equipment is in horrible condition. It's not fed well. Disease is rampant. And it loses its battles. That's what happens in one human being. Every time the command goes into sympathy with another organism and says, well, you take that body there. I don't think it's very good or very beautiful. Of course, what it's actually saying is, I know I shouldn't brag. I know I have nothing to brag about, or I know I'm stupid, so on. When a guy says that to himself, he's saying, well, I know that the cells in the fingernails, the toenails, the hands, nerves, sinews are stupid, not beautiful, don't function well. He puts a postulate down, just as though he posted a division order. From this moment henceforward, no troops will conduct themselves with pride. From this moment henceforward, all troops are skunks. Now he expects to get obedience from the troops. He won't. And that's what a command center does, and that's what happens in the individual. You see, giving you an example from the third dynamic for you to apply to the first dynamic. People have a tendency, far before they become one, to behave as units, as individuals. What's an individual? A real individual. It's somebody who is operating in coordination with himself 24 hours a day. That's an individual. An organism which is sick, unhappy, aberrated, is an organism which is working across purposes with itself 24 hours a day. It's in dissension, mutiny. There's almost nothing short of being hit head-on by a General Sherman tank, that a human body operating in good coordination with itself cannot overcome or cannot accomplish or cannot heal. Almost nothing. And yet people go around saying, well, I can't do this, and I'm not much good, and I have to wear this, and I'm bad off, and I have to travel slowly, and the doctor says, and so on, so on, so on. It's a very strange thing. When you get into the center push button and do an analysis on this thing, how awfully simple it is. How terribly simple, how appallingly simple to be so long overlooked. But it's natural why it was long overlooked. Maybe nobody just plain had enough guts to come out and say, the second I state that an individual should be in free and complete command of himself, second, I say that an individual should be given back into his own command and thereafter operate on the lines of his own experience. I am postulating that I will now have to live in a world of individuals who cannot be bludgeoned or beaten into instantaneous blank obedience. And also, I am abdicating from any throne over the tops of individuals. Now, that's what an individual says. At the same time, he says this other thing. And you as individuals, when you look around you, you will see that the people in your immediate vicinity, you will see that this is actually what you're doing. You're saying, I don't want this fellow as messed. I don't want this human being as property. And you're also saying, I've got to have enough nerve and enough confidence in my own ability to live with individuals who are strong powerful, and self-determined. If you think it over, it's quite a decision you have to make, because it's what you're doing. You're giving up all the push buttons the second you put a guy back to battery. You're saying, I'm not going to use these anymore. Now, it's important to recognize that, since here and there some individual may find in himself a feeling that maybe he shouldn't be quite so anxious to have Mr. Doakes be an entirely self-determined, coordinated individual. Make Mr. Doakes a little bit tougher to get along with sometimes, maybe. And maybe it will. Let's not try to be sing a paean of pastoral glory and contentment and go along with Rousseau and so on all the way. Maybe it will. Maybe we're making a world full of wolves. So what? I certainly am sick of looking at a world full of rabbits. Now, when it comes to your ability to do this, the first moment of your ability starts when you think the problem over carefully, look at it from all sides, and figure out whether or not you want to do it to people. Because it's a decision with you about it. Now, here's the liability on knocking an army apart. You knock a nation apart, and you have to feed it, care for it, baby it. And it's dangerous to have around. We went over and knocked apart the early Russian government. The old government had been no good. The new government maybe offered some slight hope for the people. We sent troops into Siberia. So did England and France. And tried to knock the new Bolshevik government into smithereens. Now we sit around and say, here we are, we're not aggressors. We're just trying to make the world safe for democracy. And the commie sits over there in Russia. He knows something happened to him from here or there, and he knows something is happening to him, and he's going to fight. He's not very bright or very far advanced, actually. He's fighting for the kind of freedom for the people in Russia which we had earned so doggone long ago, we've almost forgotten it and almost thrown it away. And he's very sincere about all of this, and boy, is he dangerous to have around. But nobody ever gave him a helping hand. On the contrary, he was attacked. This is not bad or good. This is just facts. So, instead of trying to give Russia back any kind of self-determinism, we're trying to cut her down and make her a little weaker and a little weaker. And we're going to make her so weak someday that San Francisco, St. Louis, New York City, Chicago, Wichita, and points east, north, south, and west will probably go boom. And that Russia goes boom simultaneously does not excuse it as a thoroughly rotten method of proceeding. And that's true on a human being level. Russia hasn't been very smart about this country either. They get a lot of people running around, a lot of being kindergarten or something, going around saying, I'm a big, big shot now, I belong to the party, and yak, 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 making asses out of themselves. And they come tearing around, they start carving up the society, and the next thing you know, somebody starts to get redheaded about the thing. Somebody says, well, let's see, what do we do to the CP? The next thing you know, that's bad too, see. Russia introduces, in other words, a disruptive force here in an effort to nullify the United States and bring it down the tone scale. We introduce disruptive efforts into Russia and bring her down the tone scale. Both countries fail to prosper, and a lot of little guys on the face of the earth that don't give a damn about it are going to get killed. Interesting, isn't it? How error concatenates. So you look out the other way and you say, well, shoot the works. What would happen on self-determinism? real self-determinism, what would happen? Well, you try it out, and you start giving a guy back his ability to be self-determined, and you get some very interesting results. He starts to get well, and he starts to think, because the statics have been taken out, and he can get his theta facsimiles into motion. And as soon as he can get them into motion, you can reach some degree his understanding. ARC is only possible way up the tone scale. The only thing that's possible in the lower brackets of the tone scale are death and destruction. So the domination and nullification are not fitting weapons for a human being to use on another human being. Now, you have to solve that within yourselves, whether you want to do that to people or not. And if you think it over very carefully, by the way, you'll probably get quite a few little chills out of it. If you want to take everybody in your vicinity and suddenly turn them loose, take the push buttons out of them. Rehabilitation of self-determinism, but it brings them up the tone scale. And importantly, it takes away the imagined fears. Any body of troops which has been disrupted badly is rife with rumor and will believe anything. And any human being who is down the tone scale will accept lies and will postulate for himself and those around him destructive actions which have nothing to do with reason. He's beyond the reach of reason. Reason is your best weapon, always, not force. But sometimes, in a moment of emergency, force is necessary. How do you solve that? You solve it by the agreement that sometimes, in a moment of emergency, force is necessary. By a coordination with the human beings around you, what your goals are. What is your method of agreeing upon approaching those goals? It's rather simple, all in all. This is something we have to think about because right now we are not just on the verge of, we are very well into the progress of creating individuals who are very self-determined. You're going to start watching pre-clears coming up the tone scale. You never realized that they were mostly in 0-5. They start coming up the tone scale and they'll get angry and they'll start to use their self-determinism in the most cockeyed fashions. And so, it became risky to an auditor without his realizing it in the past because the fellow hung up at levels on the tone scale, one after the other. He hung there so long that the society would see him hanging at the wrong place in the tone scale and bat him down again. So it took a fast method, and we've got speed in this method. It's swift. Just that method all by itself. All you do is take messed processing as represented in self-analysis under the formula contained in the axioms there that I had you mark with a number of stars, and apply it to the individual and locate moments when he concluded to do these things to himself. You can do it on a validation side or an end theta side. When did he decide not to maintain himself? When did he decide to do this, not to do that? And basically down at the center of the formula is when he decided to stop himself or start himself. What you're doing is taking a full review of the general orders issued by the command center on a static and arbitrary level. You're taking a full review of that entire file of orders for the person's whole life. It doesn't take very long, oddly enough. You just start using messed processing, not on the environment, but on the individual himself. And you start going down the list of messed processing. It says object, all right, take the guy's hand. When did you realize that you had burned your hand? Yeah. When this? When did you agree that you couldn't see? Or when did you have a hard time disagreeing that you couldn't see? Because disagreement will keep him down on the scale, too. You'll start rehabilitating a person because you're rehabilitating the dynamic which should be rehabilitated first, and that's the first dynamic. You can't expect a fellow to operate very much on the third dynamic until you've done something for the first. Yes, Bert.
Well, how specific a level
should be? Oh, it depends on how much the auditor wants to be specific. He'll have some cases he'll have to pilot through very carefully on this. And others, he just starts to get them the idea, and they'll just start to roll it on up. Now, with this, you're not worrying about the effort. You're not worrying about the physical effort to make these conclusions. That is process number two. You're familiar with this band from old standard procedure. Here, you were knocking out the material on just a gunshot basis, which an individual used to postulate his new conclusions. Now we find out that an individual's power of choice is so great that the only way those items could be revived would be by the individual himself pulling them into action. And what's this got to do with the theory of epicenters? Every successive command post in the body in every successive direction has at one time or another had full command of that organism. What organism there was there? It had full command. Once upon a time, it was general. And the counter effort permitted a new command post to be formed each time. Each time a new command post was formed, they had appointed a new officer. The old command post had to be knocked into apathy to get it under the thumb quick. That's, by the way, true from the first to the last of these command posts. It's just successive. In the course of life, you'll find out some fellow says, well, I have to go get operated on. That's great. Christian Science goes to such a degree it says nobody ever needs to be operated on. Rather an extreme thing, but very well may be attainable. It may be attainable through science, mast, and working the thing over, but it's an extreme. Without the bridge built to that fact, it's foolish. So, this individual makes a mistake. The command post made a mistake. It said, run down that slope. And so, organism runs down the slope and falls and breaks its leg. He was wrong. The guy realizes he was wrong. So one of the first things he'll say, I was wrong. It's one of the last things he should say. If he is not badly interpolated, if his command post is not already at odds and ends with the rest of the body, he wouldn't say, run down the slope and break your leg. He wouldn't say, go ahead and ride with Charlie even though he's drunk. It just wouldn't do these things, that's all. There's a terrific amount of misguided social activity that goes on, which is terrifically inhibitive to the society itself and to the guys you do it to. Unnecessary. If you started living on a more honest basis than the existing social code, you would find it would work out much more kindly. But in this case, with effort processing, what you do is knock out the effort of the command post holding the engrams into present time. Control center. Is exactly the same operation as the general who is continually ordering field punishment for his troops. The command post says, yeah, so you're going to hurt. Bling. Goes down, picks up the engram. Says, now you can really hurt, damn you. General who does too much of that always gets a mutiny. But it's a weapon. It is the use of the death facsimile. If you want to be plain about it, and if you want to put it down where it'll be published, the use of the pain facsimile to procure the obedience of the organism. There's no quicker method of subduing an old command post, which has suddenly become active, than by dropping a pain facsimile on it, reminding it of the time it failed. Well, you used to be General Bub, but you're just a lieutenant now. You don't believe it, huh? Well, here's the last time you fell over the kitchen stove.
Simple.
Effective. Now, however, if you rehabilitate equanimity amongst the troops, there isn't any reason to empty the locker box of all the old whips. No particular reason. And as a matter of fact, I don't believe you can. There's that many whips. But you can do this. You can get the self-determinism on the first time the fellow ever agreed to use on himself. You can get the effort to do this, by the way. Agreed to use on himself or others pain facsimiles. The first time he agreed or decided to use pain facsimiles on himself or others. Get that effort out of the case. You'll find yourself sailing a long way back on the time track. Very interesting results accrue from finding that. But it's the button within the button within the button within the button. It's the first time of agreement. Boy, it's a long way back. Now, it's not necessary to clean up every pain facsimile, but it is necessary to clean up the times one decided to use them. Because we have reached a stage in the evolution of the organism where it is possible, at least as a test, to trust the computing power of the human mind and to trust its use of ARC within itself. The test would be reached at a level and would thereafter possibly continue by leaps, fits, and starts through the race for a little while and then would eventually settle down as to be the usual thing. If an organism has arrived at a point where it doesn't need to evolve any further, because we're sticking a log straight across evolution itself when we do this. But according to the epicenter theory, the way a new form and a new command post is evolved is by picking the common denominator of all the counter efforts of a generation, and you make a new command post for the new generation. That's the way it's done. And now all of a sudden, in one generation, you're going to pick up all these counter efforts. You're going to interrupt the organism in its evolution. Man never will get to be to a point where he has two heads. Fortunately, there isn't even much chance of picking up all those counter-efforts. But there is a definite chance to pick up the determination to use them and the physical effort to use them. You pick up these things, you'll find the race will get so much better that the race can start to operate itself as an enormous organism in cooperation with itself to the consequent conquest of the entire physical universe. Now, the third method Reduce all n theta facsimiles. Anybody wants to start on this at this time, all there are on the track, all that can be found from successive command center to command center, he better start right now and work constantly for the next couple of years, because that's about how long it'll take. Just to get the efforts out of him. We can reduce a tonsillectomy now in probably 20 minutes. We can reduce a birth in 15 minutes or a half an hour or something like that. Well, at this rate of reduction, bongity, 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 bong, right straight down the track, getting full reality, doing a nice job, efficient auditing and everything else, take that back to the beginning of time and get the first photon and proceed on forward from there, reducing all of them. You've got a job on your hands. What we've got here is a shortcut way to do this. And what we've got there is a shortcut way to do both of them. Actually, you should perhaps in processing start with this one, then get this one. And then by that time, we'll know whether or not it's necessary to do this one. Now, what we were trying to do in processing before, what I was doing this one and thinking I was doing this one too in one lifetime, and could succeed in doing these two things fairly well as long as I addressed one lifetime. But you start effort processing, if you can keep the free clear in one lifetime, you're pretty good. Write me a letter and tell me how you did it. You succeeded. Because you'd be pretty good. I go flying up down the track like shot from Quaker Oats guns. Now, these old epicenters will give trouble. And it may be necessary sometimes for you to run all the n-grams out of one particular epicenter. Now, that's not too hard, just one epicenter, such as maybe the epicenter in the middle of the tongue, or the epicenter in the middle of the middle of the middle of the middle of the tongue, or something like that. Just one lifetime out of one epicenter, or maybe 10 lifetimes out of one epicenter. But to de-intensify the thing sufficiently, because it might have gotten whipped around to a point in this life where the basic on all of its n-gram chains, the basic on its chains, is way back in the old epicenter. The doctor carved around on the guy, or he had too many automobile accidents and hit him in one place too often. And the next thing you know, he's got an old whole series of epicenter n-grams right on that epicenter in restimulation. In fact, the loss of authority of the central command post in the body is attended by the usurpation of authority on the part of old control centers, old epicenters. That's one of the ways the command post loses its authority. All of a sudden, an old epicenter gets hurt too bad. Gets hurt too much. The command post tries to impose upon it the n-gram to get it into line. And it just re-stimulates it more, and that kicks back against the command post more, and the command post says, get into line, and re-stimulates another n-gram on it. Until all of a sudden, there's a terrific ball up, and about the only thing you can do is clean up the old epicenter. This is quite important to processing if you're going on a long-term basis. There are people walking around who are thinking with old epicenters instead of their command posts. If you know any preclear who has, for instance, a hollow head, it isn't because somebody hollowed his head out. It's because he's drifted down the line on epicenters until he's probably thinking of the epicenter on top of the roof of his mouth. Or he's thinking with the epicenter back here. And it's so common for the epicenters back here to be active. They're fairly late on the track in evolution. You can watch people's behavior and personalities and behavior patterns. And you can practically call your shots on what epicenter they're working on. That's interesting. Now, every time you have a command post which is not in command of the organism, you have trouble with the individual and the organism. It's very, very interesting that individuals and the command post projects its activity to control the organism into an effort to control the environment. Instead of turning to the organism and facing down the mutiny, tries to control the environment instead before it controls its own organism. Out it goes. Therefore, you have a command post which is having a lot of trouble with the troops, being destructive to its environment, because the environment's been destructive to it and so forth, and it completely misses the first dynamic kind of thing. Mostly because it's so very fashionable in this society to be all cockeyed on the first dynamic, to be crazy. Oh, I do the craziest things. I'm so proud of me. The amount of dignity available in the society, if collected all together and put in a symbol, would be easily and quickly lost. There's a lot of pomposity, but very little dignity. We don't think much of an Indian, for instance, who walks around and says, me very great man, big hunter. He tells you all about it. You look at the guy, healthy, strapping, bird, and so on. Conceited ass. This code of conduct that we cling on to is one of the most destructive things we could possibly have. Self-negation. And do you know where the bottom rung of this code of conduct is? In a sick, lame, halt, and blind society like China. This unworthy person says to your magnificent and wonderful self, Japan, politest, here, people, what chart, what wall? As a general rule, they did find a lot of them to be pilots. We didn't think they could before the war, but they did. You go around Nagasaki, practically everybody in Nagasaki is wearing a filthy rag gauze across the front of his nose in order to keep off the germs. Of course, the rag contains more germs than there are in the air, but that's beside the point. He wears this thing, keeps off the germs. Sick, eye infections, rickets, disease. They're sick people. And their most common social expression is, I withhold my foul breath from your face. Self-negation results in illness because one continues to postulate his non-existence, and he keeps getting caught in these postulates, these conclusions of non-existence, day after day, week after week, and he gets sicker and sicker and crazier, and one day they all jump up and say, now, we thought this over carefully, and we have a wonderful idea, a good idea. Let's all go over and attack Pearl Harbor. Good idea. And look at them now. It just wasn't smart. You get somebody around in an operation that you're connected with who is doing a lot of self-negation. They look pretty sick. One day they'll say, let me see, I thought this over carefully, probably with the epicenter on the tip of this ear. I thought this over carefully, and I've come to the conclusion that I should write the arc light and tell the arc light everything that's wrong with the foundation. The next thing you know, why, everybody is saying, you know, tough, the foundation's in horrible shape. Foundation's sitting along here, running like a well-oiled clock. Characters around sending out bulletins and things just left and right and saying, everything is failing, everything is going by the boards. There is no research at the foundation, as you people can quickly see. Nothing has been going on around here. And it's just not safe, that's all. But it's a choice between that sort of thing and restoring a person's self-determinism. Now, sometimes characters aren't available. You can't lay your paws on them so you can return their self-determinism to them, you know? And say, all right, now listen. We're going to cure you up of several of these items, so on. You might do it under duress at first, as you will do with most psychotics, but the guy could snap out of it. He actually could. But sometimes it takes an exterior force to straighten up an army. Belisarius arrived one time when Justinian was besieged in Constantinople by his own people. Belisarius arrived with a couple of hundred sailors, and there was nothing like a couple of hundred well-organized policed sailors to restore order to that city. Now, it's possible, then, for psychosis to be treated at its initial step as an emergency proposition, just exactly as you would treat an army which had turned into a mutinous rabble. Same way. But this wouldn't say that you should keep the army in the status of mutiny, or that you should kill off 50% of the troops, or that you should shoot the general in command of it. These are unwarranted assumptions. But an emergency action is sometimes possible, and you auditors know in treatment of psychosis to your sorrow that a psychotic is pretty hard to handle. A lot of people walking around, by the way, who are hard to handle too, who aren't carrying the label. And you find out that they can raise mischief with you and your pre-clears. For instance, this girl's got a husband who says to her every time she comes home from a session, yeah, that stuff's a lot of bunk. You don't look any better. Yeah, so you thought it did you some good last time. Well, you see, that was the main reason why a fast technique was necessary. So you could jump a person's self-determinism up the tone scale fairly rapidly so that they could go home and somebody would say, my, you look terrible. And they'd say, what cat drugged you in, buddy? The formula which you use to put together straight wire on self-determinism first is on the basis of start and stop as simple motion formula. When have you tried to start yourself and stop yourself? You're not doing anything. I mean, just when have you tried to start yourself and stop yourself? Now you can start assigning various odds and ends of actions to it. Eat, sleep, so on. All the common actions. When have you tried to start and stop? You'll find out the individual, just on this basis, will boil down to, this is a straight wire, you understand, or sort of kind of running on the track a little bit. You know, feel your agreement about it occasionally, you know, and I feel this or that. Start and stop. Then go over into this other formula, and this is on the first dynamic, and take this one about the effort of theta is the conquest of mest. Whatever this one, 20, creates, conserves, maintains, acquires, destroys, changes, occupies, groups, and disperses mest. You can apply all those things and say command post creates, conserves, maintains, acquires, destroys, changes, occupies, groups, or disperses its own organism. That's a formula about the organism itself. You want to know the conclusions. You want to pick up reality here or there on the case a little higher or a little faster, you're getting up. Get the moments when they are being forced toward a static and are still disagreeing with it. Those instants. And you'll blow them up into ARC on the subject. You know, somebody's telling them you shouldn't eat candy. And they say, why not? And, well, it's bad for you. It'll rot your teeth. Well, why? I like candy. Well, you can't have any more candy. And you just get a sort of a sullen disagreement on the thing. Well, that has approached a static, but the person hasn't accepted it. But sometimes you'll discover a static by getting one of those lighter moments where the person is still disagreeing and make them feel that disagreement. and they'll come up with a tone scale on that one subject and get a little more free fate on the case. Freeze up another facsimile, and the next thing you know, why, you can get the more basic moments. You will find moments when the organism is disobeying itself to be occluded, ordinarily, pretty well occluded. When it's trying to start and stop itself, you will find an enormous number of postulates. You call those things postulates. What the command post said, you could call them general orders or orders of the day or anything else. But call them a postulate just for a good code word. Start and stop. You'll find the fellow stopped himself on the time track and started himself elsewhere on the time track and changed himself on the time track and so forth. And this basically was all there was to it. Now, when you've got the first dynamic out of the road, and when you are thoroughly convinced that you have accomplished tone 40 with this one and possibly some of that one, when you've got that, when you've got that all squared away with this one individual, when you've got this by this and this, you've got the one individual straightened up. I repeat that one. The first dynamic. You mustn't think about yourself in this society. Well, that's mainly what's wrong with it. Then you start in on the opposite sex, sex and children. Then you start in on the second dynamic. And when you've got that all swamped up with the same formulas, what is he doing to these, anything on that second dynamic? And you start on the third dynamic. And you start handling other people in the environment. Now, occasionally, as you're processing the individual on the first dynamic, you'll find that he has a tendency to pick up stuff on the other dynamics. Well, don't stop him from picking them up. But get him back on that first dynamic. Let's get the army in shape. In good shape. All battalions marshaled. Logistics cared for and supply lines open. Perceptions good. Signal corps operating in beautiful condition. Armor repaired. And ready to roar, and then declare war along the lines of the dynamics. The whole human race, as individuals today, has done the same thing as the Rough Riders did. The Rough Riders were in beautiful shape. They went down there, didn't have any horses, and they were trained to ride horses, but that's outside the point. And they were given orders that they were to attack and take San Juan Hill. In the process, they posted orders there that said, 4 a.m., jump off for the crest on San Juan Hill. The Rough Riders got up at 3 a.m., grabbed some hardtack or bully beef or something of the sort, and says, here we, what? They hadn't taken the point from which they jumped off, and the name of that hill was El Caney. And nearly all the casualties suffered in the famous, quote, attack on San Juan Hill were suffered in the attack on El Caney, trying to get a point from which to jump off to attack San Juan Hill. Well, I've always kept that rather interestedly in mind as about the primary error a fellow can make when he's trying to take an objective. Is say you're going to jump off from someplace and not be there yet. It looks to me, Dianetics and human race, people do an awful lot of jumping off for the third and fourth and fifth dynamic without taking the first one, because only when you have taken the first one can you jump off for any place else. You're right there. You don't have to go afield to find trouble. Now, it should not take us here as a crew, all of you, very long to clean up the first dynamic. You've got tools now. If you manage to misunderstand them, you're pretty good off. I don't think you do. I get reports from you working them fine. Shouldn't take you very long to take the first dynamic. Then we can go out on an all-out cavalry charge for the second dynamic.